Would you turn with me this morning to Luke 16:11 as we look at this idea of financial management and just honoring the Lord with what we do? And today we're talking about harmony in the home, and really it's a teamwork issue. And so in Luke chapter 16, verse 11, God gives us kind of having the right perspective with respect to financial management. Verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And God does desire that we would be faithful in our financial management. One of the things of financial faithfulness and accountability is obviously budgeting and keeping the spending within an income. And sometimes if we lose a spending battle, we can find ourselves in debt. And there's a way to work out of that. And God helps us. But getting sense of control over where our money goes and just marketing down somehow on paper or in software to help with that. Obviously, now we also have there's things online like Mint. There's a thing called Mint.com. And if you hook up your bank accounts, it'll categorize based upon the type of spending, and it'll help you with that as well, and to look at where spending goes. But as we do that, stress can come because of personal finances, and especially when this financial spending goes out of control. As I had said before, it can lead to loss of a tremendous amount of stress, loss of job, absenteeism, addictions, and family abuse occur with respect to a lack of financial management. Really, when you think about a budget is saying, you know what, God, I want to be responsible with the money that you've given to me. So it's telling God, or just looking at God, I want to use your money wisely. Here's how we're looking at doing it, and you're just moving forward. And as we do that, obviously we put the priorities that God has for us. If you don't know what you're going after in your financial outlook on life, your financial journey, one of the things is we won't end where we want to be. We got to have a plan, and a budget is a plan. A guide, an evaluation tool, helping us to do that. Now, knowing what we spend our money on, keeping an accurate record, having it in paper again, will help us. We also need to know when we spend our money. There's certain, maybe sometimes if, you know, an individual is going through a lot of emotional distress or other things. I know in the past when something back when I was in the military, you know, something would come up and you're just stressed and you're like, I need to buy this. And I would do that. And oftentimes then I'd have to like, oh, no, I need to set a budget and go through this and help with that. But some spending can be seasonal. Some is also some bills are due quarterly. Some are yearly. And you just set money aside on a, you know, if it's annually, you just set money aside every month and put that a part of your budget. And that way, when that big bill comes, it's all there. And you obviously save yourself some money if you can pay on an annual basis. Also, the other thing is knowing where we spend our money, the categories for doing such. But we also have another question to ask yourself is, why do I spend my money? You know, dealing with an attitude of the self-discipline and lack of discipline can lead to indulgence in areas and irresponsibility. And the object you desire, we really need to ask the question, is that what I'm going to purchase, is it a want or a need? Now, we have to have a clear differentiation on what determines a want and a need. There's sometimes I need that, but is it really a need or is it just a great want? And, you know, those are some things that we have to think about. In Philippians chapter 4, oops, it just jumped on me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, 19, understanding that the principle with which God has given to us in Scripture is that God will supply for us. And in Philippians 4:19, we're going to look at here, does discuss that. So having a biblical outlook on financial spending. Yes, it does. A budget does constrain you. But at the same time, it gives you a liberty to be in control rather than allowing your money to control you. So in verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So allowing God to provide for me. And it says all your need. So I really have to ask myself the question when I'm going, why I'm spending the money, Lord, is this a want or is this a need? And as I do such, I can ask God, and God will give me the answer. He promises to. So here's several things, just a quick list of what a budget will do for you. Number one, it controls your standard of living. We're not trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're not trying to keep up with anyone else. It doesn't matter. I'm trying to keep up with what God wants me to do. Number two, it also establishes goals. A budget will help you to establish goals. And you know what? When we get those goals, all of us, when you're doing schooling or something else like that, and you achieve a good score, it's rewarding. Well, there's rewarding to say, you know what? I've achieved this goal. We've saved up and we've done it. And, you know, we were able to do it. Number three, it's spend with controls. So I don't just need to spend. I can have some control on it. Number four, it eliminates family arguments. I did grow up in a family, and there were some financial struggles at times, and there was a lot of arguments, and a number of them would deal with financial issues. The other thing is it compels us to save. And you know what? It's nice when we can save, if we have the ability to, but in a budget, we are in the saving. You can say, you know what? I'm putting money aside just for fun money. Fun money. And so I can spend it. It's money that I've already allocated to have fun. And so you're giving yourself liberty, but yet you're doing it within constraint. It also compels you to give as you have the opportunity. It eliminates worry and anxiety. Obviously, the elimination of worry and anxiety is contingent on job stability. And jobs can come and go, but we have to understand verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so as we exhibit the responsibility there, it does lessen our worry and anxiety. The next one, eliminates wasteful and unplanned spending. You can go into a store, you can look at it, wow, that's really nice. And then you say, I need that. And you look at the price, I really need this. But the thing is asking ourselves the question, do I really need it or do I want it? And so you can eliminate some of that frivolous spending. But it also faces us to face reality. You know what? I only have X amount of dollars per month to work off of, and that's all I've got. The other thing it can do is it protects against debt. It also keeps you in God's will. If you can exhibit that responsibility and faithfulness in your spending, it does keep you in God's will because every aspect, my time is a part of God's will. My life and my mind needs to be in God's will, but also an aspect of my life is my finances. I can say in God's will in my finances, and also it keeps our money from going bye-bye. It goes by pretty quick, much quicker than we would like. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. God's model for the home is teamwork. And in a marriage relationship, husband and wife working together to accomplish plans. So Matthew chapter 12, we're going to look at a number of passages here with this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Excuse me. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And so an aspect of our teamwork is, again, your house should not be divided on your financial outlook. There ought to be a focus, just as I was reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 this morning, with respect to the temple, and Solomon was dedicating the temple. And it says they were all of one voice and one song, and they all played the musical instruments together. And then the house of the Lord, and then they gave praise and thanks to the Lord, and the house of the Lord was filled with the glory of God. But as we think about that, a unity in the home, a unity spiritually, a unity financially, saying this is what we want to accomplish. You know, hey, let's pay off this debt, or let's do this, and let's save up for this. And having a focus, and a husband and wife, moving forward to pay things off and get things established. The other thing is, Ephesians 5:31, God does give us, again, clear direction in the home, having that focus financially. And there ought not to be a division between the spouses. Anyway, And God has called us to be one. In verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 5, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Again, husband and wife are to be one. And so in the financial spending, it ought to be one. And when spending occurs, chatting with the spouse and asking them, and oftentimes I've seen in many families, one of the spouses is more financially strong in their management than the other one. Well, that's where the teamwork comes in, right? Helping one another and helping one another in that expenditures of your funds. Romans 12:4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Understanding again, now that is talking about the church, but the idea is that husband and wife, there's a complementary, you know, they complement one another. So the strength of one might be a weakness of another, but as we allow each other to help one another before the focus, because of our marriage, is one before God. And so teamwork in the home is necessary, and that's God's model. The other thing is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Would you look with me here? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Teamwork in the home produces harmony and strength. If you can eliminate one of the tentacles for discord or conflict in the home, why would you not want it? I mean, it's nice when you come home and you can just have peace, right? And if you can eliminate one of those things that would be a potential cause for a lack of harmony, let's go for it. And so, you know, looking at financial management. Verse 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Now, again, the verse 12, there's, again, talking about teamwork. It does talk about threefold cord, but three people coming together and holding each other up, the strength there. But as you find in verse 9, two are better than one. Husband and wife helping each other for our family, for our testimony before the Lord, helping each other. And so setting down and saying, you know what, we want to get this paid off and just moving forward. Another thing is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, a true teamwork requires a humble effort. Verse 2, "Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." And so there's a humility there, the evil work that's done under the sun. There's a humble effort together with one another as you and your spouse. You know what? They may give an explanation, or they might give an input, and sometimes we say, that's not a good idea. But as we think about it, you say, you know what? That is a good idea. And you know what? I need to listen. And so as I listen to my spouse, and we go back and forth on expenditures and talking about things, and it does also draw us closer together because we're talking, right? And as you have that heart-to-heart and talking about what is your goal. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, strong teams have different roles but the same goal. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 18 through 20. So there is a goal. Verse 18 of Colossians 3, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Now verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." So there's, again, there's a difference here in verse 18, 19, and 20. There's a husband, there's a wife, there's a children. Different roles, but the same goal for everyone that resides under this roof. There's a goal, and this is what we're going to do with it. The other thing, 1 Timothy 5:14, look there as well. Having the goal. Do we have a goal? Do we have a, you know what? Do I want to get this paid off? Do I want to do this? Do I want to... And an opportunity to do such. 1 Timothy 5:14, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So there is different roles here in this, and giving none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So husband and wife, different roles, again, that God has ordained, and as we move forward. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So in this aspect of different roles, there's a humility. It's not one is above the other, they're just different. It's just a difference in how God has made us, and as we, under our roof, endeavor and plan and focus, this is what how we're going to move forward in our family, that we are going to put God first. All right, going on from here, communication is the number one problem in family relationships, husband and wife, parents with their children, adult siblings, parents, etc. And that area of communication breaks down, and many times it can break down over money. If you are someone, like when I was younger, and I'm asking, like I went to go buy a car, and I asked my dad for help, because I said, you know what, dad's bought a few cars, he's had some loans, dad knows how to deal with it. So I asked my dad for help. Back when I was in the military, I had a friend of mine. He used to be a used car salesman. I said, hey, would you go with me as I go look at a vehicle? I wanted some input. Someone that was older than me that had some idea of how this whole thing works. And but anyways, I got a good deal with a friend of mine helping me, saying, hey, I'd ask a little bit more here, or do other things, because, at that time when I was buying my vehicle, I had a Honda CR-V. I think it was a 2001 at the time I bought it. I bought it in 2006 or 7 or something like that. But the friend of mine, as he helped me, he gave me some really good ideas, gave me some ideas on loans and rates. Just had some input. You know what? I needed that. I needed that input because I wanted to have a smart, it's not an investment, but I had a smart expenditure of funds. I needed a vehicle. And I needed a four-wheel drive vehicle, as there was a lot of snow there in New York where I was stationed. We'd have 2 feet of snow overnight. I mean, it was just, we got lake effect snow. I'd never heard of lake effect snow. I do know what it is now. And you get lots of snow all at once. Very cold, wet snow. And but it helped me. And other things. And I would even ask my family, I'd ask my dad for wisdom with respect to different things. And my parents have been able to save up and as they go forward. Money is the number one place for communication to break down. And so we really do need to have communication. And financial undiscipline, lack of discipline, will create that, because there can be, you know, one person might say to another person, you know, just this, there's can be odd that comes about because one person might not have the same objective and goal as the other person. And when there's not the same goals, the team's not working together. If you've ever tried playing a sports game and both people are not having the same objective, one person wants to do this thing and the coach is telling you to do this and you guys are at loggerheads together, you know, just fighting each other, it's going to make for a very uncomfortable time. And so moving forward, so God-honoring communication, here's several things. Setting a common goal. Just say, what do we want to do? Do we want to pay this off? Do we want to save? Do we need to? Setting a goal. And the other, understanding the other person's perspective. Sit down with them. Listen, this is what we want to do. If a younger person say, hey, I'd like to do this. This is what I'm looking to do, but I don't know how to do it. You know, maybe a younger person asking their parents or someone else for a perspective of having a proper goal. The other thing is things come up that you might not disagree, you might disagree with of your partner or spouse, with your spouse, excuse me, and calmly and humbly as you talk, right? And in that, there's that humility to say, we don't agree, but let's go through. And as you talk through why they think this way and why they think this way, the pros and cons, you're going to come to a consensus if both people are submitted to the Lord. If both people say, Lord, we want your best. Lord, this is what we need to do. And so, again, we're doing it in a calm, humble fashion. The other thing is decision maker takes responsibility. You have to leave it. And there's ramifications. Someone else, obviously, you can go back and forth forever. But someone needs to say, this is what we're doing. We're moving forward. And it takes responsibility. you know, if it fails, it's on my shoulders. And if it fails, I'm going to have to step up and do whatever is necessary. There's ramifications, someone doing that. And obviously, as a husband leading the family, you say, you know what, it's on my shoulders, whatever happens. And then the other thing is, if there is, and you say you're going back and forth, the other person's perspective and setting those goals, and you can't seem to find a consensus, you have a kind of a direction, but you're struggling, then seek godly counsel. There are those out there that can give you something for moving forward. In the case of my friend, where his father's a CFO, reaching out to him and Don Tucker, he's a deacon there, and just asking counsel, right? Getting some wisdom on moving forward. Mine versus hers. And this really is, what's his is mine, and what's mine is mine. I remember, I did say that to my wife when we were first married, but ultimately, it was corporately, it was ours. Turn with me to Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It should not be a his and hers. It should be ours in the marriage because you're one. And so having a his and hers is, again, creating that discord. It's creating a lack of teamwork and having ours together. And Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you want to have if you want to get somewhere profitably, it's everyone in the family working towards that one stated goal and working towards that. And so Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you want to win a game, it's everyone working together. It's teamwork. Husband and wife is a teamwork. Different roles. Some have different strengths. Some might be stronger in one area than the other, but God brought you two together for the express purpose of honoring him with your lives. And one area is the financial management. This also does, again, Luke 16:10, and going back to our opening passage of Scripture here in Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Luke 16:10. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And so that unjust, there's a lack of discernment in this building of trust here, as you see up there on the screen. So faithful in the little things. If I can be faithful, if God gives me a little bit of money, obviously when we're younger, typically it's when we have less, but not always the case. When you're younger, we have less, and we say, you know what, I can only buy this. I got to be okay with it. And as we get older, and obviously more abilities, many times the income does increase. But that's not always the case. Life circumstances do happen. I got this little skin on my lip here. It's driving me crazy. But, again, so building and earning trust. And you know what, if everyone on that team trusts the other person to have their back, it's much more enjoyable. And so as you think about that in the marriage and finances, children also will learn more from your example than your words. And so managing money, for example, from your words, they're going to look at a life and they're going to see how you spend your money. And that really is an example. What would you like, if you were to think about it, your children, what would you like them to remember about your money management? What would you like them to forget? And so, as you think about those several questions on financial management, God does give us these things in our life. And money, God's given to us. God's given us the ability to work, to have health, to the talent to do certain things. Every one of us are talented in different areas, and some in more of those areas than others. But with that, it is a gift of God. And praise the Lord for all of us having differences in our unique areas. But with that, again, in our money management in a home, setting the example for being wise on how we do spend. The other thing is character qualities you like to exemplify and instill in others. One of the things is honesty. You know what? We're going to make our money honestly. We're not going to do it underhandedly. We're not going to do it deceitfully. We're not going to do it in a way where it's going to be pragmatic. And I mean pragmatic is the ends justifies the means. So I'm, you know, if someone asks me if I was selling something and someone has asked me, what's wrong with this? I could tell you, here's the problems we've had, in all honesty, if they ask. And so there's an honesty. I'm not trying to say, oh, yeah, it works great. It's perfect, like new. And they get in, they're like, it doesn't work very well. And you knew about it, right? That'd be dishonest in the sales for that or whatever you have. The other thing is, in a character quality you instill, is self-control. That is very needed in our day and age, self-control. We find, obviously, the citizens' debt here in Canada is quite large. And, I mean, we need some, your house and sometimes a car and other things might come up. But our self-control and how we spend those funds. So we need to exemplify and instill a self-control in our financial management. The other thing is a stewardship. You know what? I'm going to value what I've been given. I'm not going to treat it lightly. I'm not going to treat it, mishandle it, and throw it around as though it's just, you know. And my parents, I know, and for myself, they said, you know what, we're not going to give you, I mean, I had the family car, a 1986 Ford Tempo 5-speed, had some mechanical issues, I did the oil changes and all that stuff on it, but they said it's still our car, and they didn't just give it to me, I had to buy it, I had to earn it, I had to work for it, and it taught me some things. You know what, I valued what I worked hard for, and when we work for it, we value it oftentimes much better than if it's just haphazardly given to us. And Mom and Dad did teach me that, and I'm thankful for that. And they would give us, we did have, for a time, we did have an allowance, but the allowance, when we just kind of expected it and didn't do our responsibility, the allowance went goodbye. We were supposed to instill some of those things as my parents would teach us. And so stewardship. So do having an honesty, a self-control, and a stewardship are things that to exemplify and instill in others. And the last thing is to trust God. Do we just trust God? And when those times, if you've ever heard the story there of George Mueller, as he just trusted God. He knew God had called him with a foster home. He didn't have the financial means, but he knew God had called him. And so he went forward, and there were times where the money was zero. They didn't have anything to be able to feed the kids, and yet God would provide. And so if we're doing our best, trusting God with what we've been given, we're honest, we've used self-control, we've been a good steward, ultimately we just have to trust God. You know what? God's going to provide. I don't have the means to do it. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. I'm just going to trust God. And you know what? As we do trust God, we're going to see God provide over and over and over again. And even this church building really is a testimony to the provision of God for it. And there's been a lot of people here and abroad that have given to help this church and to continue to move forward. And it's just trusting God. You know, God wants a church here. If God wants it, God's got to provide it. So we just trust him to do it. And I'm thankful for that. Thank for each and every one of you for that, in that aspect of trusting God. So next week, we'll talk about saving and investing as we move forward with this. Got done a little bit early today. But again, I hope, just as we really do think about it, our home ought to be a place where there is goals, there's a focus, it's a unified effort, both working together to honor and serve the Lord. We'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed until 11 o'clock. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity as we look at your word. God, as you've given us guidance. Father, I pray in all of our homes, in our lives, wherever we're at, Father, I pray that you would help us to be wise stewards. Lord, in our marriages, to have a common goal, a common focus, helping one another. And Lord, it's not at odds, but Lord, it's your way. And so, Father, I commit this into your hands. I love you. I thank you for your grace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be your servants to a world that needs to know you. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, I